Well, guys, I love action movies. Margie's a chick flick kind of person, and every once in a while I have to suffer through one of those. And the older I get, I got to be honest with you, I find myself crying in those, but please don't tell her. I just like, you know, I'll hear her, and I'm trying to hold it in. It's like, the dog what? You know, or whatever the thing. But I love action movies. And I didn't necessarily like this last Mission Impossible. It kind of let me down. But I love Mission Impossible. The old ones, the ones in black and white, the movies, you know, where Tom Cruise started. And I love Mission Impossible because it's like dun 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 dun. Do you accept this mission? Do you accept this mission? You know? Have you ever been given a mission that's been so important that you just couldn't ignore it? Maybe you grew up in sports. Sandra was talking about how the first day on the first game of a softball season, she was playing shortstop, and on the very first play, she broke the tip of her finger. So she's out for the whole season. Wah, right? You ever been in sports and the coach said, you know what? If you make this play, we win. Or maybe a family member called and said, hey, I need you right now. And the mission was so important and critical. Maybe it was a boss that assigned you something and said, hey, this has got to get done and it's got to get down now and it's important for our business's success. I mean, when you're sent, when you're called like that, there's a sense of urgency. Will you accept that mission? Because there's a purpose and there are people that are counting on you. And they're counting on you not only to follow through, but because of your actions, it's going to make a difference overall. Well, Jesus is calling us to that mission. Not to deliver a package, not to make a play, not to maybe create a banner for your boss, but the most important message in the world he's entrusted to us, and that is the gospel. The problem is, many Christians think once we become saved, we've reached the point. And we become saved now to sit. I walked down the aisle. I said a prayer. The pastor prayed over me. Later on, I got baptized. I'm done. I'm in the kingdom. I'm done. Actually, we weren't saved to sit. We have been saved to be sent. And so that's what I want to talk about today, being sent. The Great Commission isn't this extra credit assignment for just the super spiritual. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the worship team. It's for all of us. It's our everyday calling. And if we love Him, then we have to learn to live on mission for Him. The text I want to go to is in Matthew chapter 28, and it's familiar, verses 18 through 20. It says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus didn't call us to comfort. He called us to mission. Every one of us, every believer is sent. Father, I pray today that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you catch what it says here in the very beginning of this? It says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We are sent in the power of Jesus. You're not sent in your own power. If you were sent in your own power, as soon as you get out there and someone says something against you, what's going to happen in our flesh? You hurt my feelings, and I'm going to go home. I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to be picked on. I don't have all the answers. You're not sent in your own power. You were sent in the power and the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's what it says. He begins with it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And the Greek word there is exousia, which means you have the right and the power to act. You're going to explode. You are going to act. You're going to do these things. Jesus is declaring, hey, my authority is ultimate. It's greater than Rome's political might. It's greater than this Jewish religious system that you guys have been living under. It's greater than any spiritual darkness that you're going through. And for those of us today, his power and his authority is available to us. So why do we live defeated? Because we're trying to do things in our own authority and in our own power, and we don't have that power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and that is the power of Christ in us to go and to be sent. That means we don't go in your strength. We go in His. We're His disciples. And we are backed by heaven's full authority, y'all. Paul writes this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Paul calls us to be ambassadors. What does it mean to be ambassadors? Again, some of those shows that me and Tony talk about, you know, we'll catch it. Man, did you catch this one here? And you see these ambassadors that are, and they're dealing with spies and they're dealing with all of this stuff that's going on. The ambassadorship holds great power. You are representing a country. You are representing a president. You are representing something bigger than yourself. And we are ambassadors of the biggest, most important thing ever. We are ambassadors for Christ. Stop believing the lie that the mission is only for professionals. Well, I just don't know enough. I never went to, you know, cemetery school, you know. I never got my theological degree. None of that matters. If the King of Kings sends you, go. Don't fear rejection or awkwardness or inadequacy. The question is not do I feel ready, but am I just willing to trust who He is, what He says He will do, and that He will be with me this whole time, and He has the authority to see it through. That's what it boils down to. I mean, think of a police officer. I've had my share of meetings with police officers. And their power doesn't come from personal size, doesn't come from any personal strength, but it comes from the badge. It comes from the authority that they carry. I guess my last run-in was with a Jonesboro police lady, just a little short lady. I turned right, and, you know, I turned right on red, went over the railroad tracks, and she pulled me over in front of the courthouse, which is embarrassing because there's a lot of cars going by, and they're all pointing at you and waving as they go by. And she gets out, and she says, you turned right on red. I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She said, well, there's a big sign there that says, don't turn right on red. I said, ma'am, how long's that sign been there? And she said, well, I've been there for many years. I said, well, I got to be honest with you, I've turned right on red there many times. I guess I talked myself into a bigger ticket, I guess. I don't know. She had authority. It wasn't her size. It wasn't anything about her, but she had been given authority, and you have been given authority by the King of Kings. You have Christ's authority to live on mission, to make a difference in the world. It doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter your background. It just matters that you are available to go. That's the first thing. You are sent with authority. The second thing is the mission starts with where you are. Jesus says, go. It starts off in that verse. It says, go. But let me tell you this, and I've preached sermons on this before, where go. We have to go. We have to go. That's not the important thing. The important thing is there, the thing that we should be focusing on there is to make disciples. How do we make disciples? Well, we go and we baptize them and we teach them and we do these things that He says, but the important thing is to make disciples. Sometimes when we see that go, what do we think of? We think of pray for the persecuted, all of these people in countries far from us, and maybe God is calling me to go to one of these countries, and I don't want to go. Maybe God is calling me across the world to go and do something. Or the Gideons, when they come in and they talk about the Bibles that are being distributed all over the world and how the gospel of Christ is just lighting up all over the world, and you get caught up in that emotion and you hear God saying, go, and you think like, oh, I got to go. But it starts with where you are. Maybe go just means move across the aisle. Maybe it means move across the street. Maybe it means move to the other room in your house and speak to your family members. Maybe it means move across your desk in your place of work to your coworker. Start with prayer. God, where are you sending me? And then follow His presence and lead with love. Jesus says this, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. How was Jesus sent? Well, He surrounded Himself with 12 close friends. And then even three closer than that. But what did He do? He went to where the people were. Just walking down the street. Sees a funeral procession. And He stops the disciples. And He meets with the people. He's drawing in the sand. And they bring a lady that was caught in the very act of adultery. And throws her down right in front of Him. And He just, okay, whatever you're going to do. But hey, those of you without sin, you throw the first stone. And He's just writing in the sand. I would love to see what He's writing in the sand. Jesus is the model for our mission. And how was He sent? Well, the first thing, He came near. That's what it says in John 1:14. So in proximity, in your sphere of influence. He came in humility. He didn't come with all, well, He did come with all the answers, but we don't have all the answers, so we go and we come humbly. We come not to be served, but we come to serve. And then He came in love because He came to seek that what was lost. Jesus was sent in love, humility, truth, and power. And we go the same way. We don't come like we are better than anybody else. We come to serve. And it's through our service and it's through the way that we live our lives that the power and the light of Christ shines through us. Before you think about overseas missions, think about over the fence missions. Do you remember the Tim Allen show? I think it was Tool Time or whatever. He had a neighbor. You never know what the neighbor looked like. All you saw was just this much over the fence, right? Hey, Tim, what you doing? Maybe that's all He's calling us to do. The gospel often starts with our street, with our break room, with our family, around the table. Where is God calling you to maybe shine a light? Identify some people, those that are open to relationships and conversation. Just sit down with them and just begin a conversation. Some of the most impactful missionaries never got on a plane. A mom that disciplines her children. A man that started a Bible study at his work. A teenager that prayed for his classmate every day until the day that she came for the first time to a youth group. Where is God calling you to make disciples? And the third thing, making disciples is our primary calling. Again, the command in Greek is actually to make disciples, not to go. That's how we do. The go, baptizing, teaching, all of this support that main verb of making disciples. Paul writes to the Colossians. He says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Disciple making isn't just this conversation. It's walking with someone from the time they begin spiritual infancy to you begin to see the transformation as they continue to mature in Christ. Paul says in Romans, how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Jesus didn't just preach to crowds. You know, we look at the Sermon on the Mount and, you know, the thousands that He fed. But Jesus also poured into 12 men for 3 years, and the world was changed through them. That is the multiplying power of discipleship. Mission isn't about perfection. Mission could be messy because we're all messy. Mission is about direction. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be available. God, use me. Send me. How do we do that? Well, share your story with someone. How did Jesus change your life? Invite someone to church. Give somebody like one of the 5 or 6 Bibles you got laying around the house. Give somebody one of those Bibles. If you don't have a Bible to give them, we have a bunch of Bibles here. We'd be glad to give them to you, and you can pass them out to whoever. Walk with them. Pray with them as they begin their next steps in their faith journey. Can you imagine a fully equipped firefighter, picture Roger, standing outside of a burning house. Now the flames are raging and there's people inside, but Roger's just standing there watching. Sorry I'm picking on you, Roger. He has all the training. He has all the right equipment. He has all the right gear. He has the right commission. You're supposed to rescue and save. What happens if he doesn't act? Lives are lost. And it's the same thing. We have all of the power of Christ in our lives. We have all of the truth that we need. And yet this world is on fire. This world is burning. And are we just watching the world burn spiritually while we hold on to the message that saves? The gospel is meant to be delivered, not stored. Jesus is calling us into mission. People are hurting, lost, wandering, and God has called you, and he's called me. And you don't need a passport to get on a plane to live on mission. You just need to have a willing heart, open eyes. And Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So don't wait to be perfect. Just be willing and present. I want to give us a time to come to the altar and ask God, God, where are you calling me? Where are you asking me to serve? Father, again, we just ask that you would send us today. Maybe not across oceans, but across the street. Father, send us into conversations that matter. Father, send us into places where hope feels thin. Father, send us with your gospel on our lips and compassion in our hearts and the power of the Holy Spirit in our steps to be a light, a city on a hill, to be salt to this earth. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.